You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Now, these are notes. Sally, are you teaching? She's just settling. Okay, good. These are notes. Today, we're going to be talking about sin. And you might want to take some notes. If you want some expanded notes, put your hand up. Dave Ward will serve you and bring them out to you. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to start reading about love, and then we're going to start talking about sin. Talking about sin. If you're ready, say amen. If you're breathing, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, there we go. Hallelujah. I like that breathing part. I'm going to use breathing from now on. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Bible says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees, figure they're coming, take a shot. And one of the experts in the law tested him with a question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And he says, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a quote from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Lord, I thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, that we can come into your presence, Lord. And Lord, that you come into our presence this morning, where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are right here with us, that you guide us, direct us, transform situations, empower us to overcome, push back the gates of hell. And Lord, we thank you that we can come together as a church this morning, giving you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Everyone said?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. Well, I've been praying on this message for the last several days, and I came across a story on the internet yesterday of, it happened last year, and it was a story of this young man who was going to become a YouTube daredevil, and he had done a couple of things before, but he had this great plan. He has a Desert Eagle 50 caliber pistol in his hand in that picture, and he decided that he would indeed do this stunt, have his pregnant girlfriend shoot him with this gun. He would be holding a book on his chest, and that she would shoot the book, and that the book would stop the bullet. And he's invited 22 of his friends over. They're gathering, having barbecue, and going to be there as a crowd to witness this great stunt. And he's got his little three-year-old daughter there. And the mom of the daughter, the pregnant girlfriend, you know, she starts going, you know, I don't think this is a great idea. I mean, what's going to happen to me if I kill you? And he says, hon, it's okay. I've done this before. Just hit the book. If you hit the book, I'm going to be fine. And she acquiesces, says, okay. And he says on the video before he does this thing, he says, well, I'm ready to meet Jesus, but he probably won't let me into heaven because this is such a stupid idea. And the girlfriend shoots the book, and the bullet goes through the book into his heart and kills him. Not real wise. Not real safe. He's not on the right path. He's not on the safe path. And I wonder this morning what path you're on. Message we're studying today is the kingdom path. And we are in a series called The Message of the Master. And we have been looking at the Gospel of Matthew for the last 2 months, through May and through June. And I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have. And I want to let you know this morning, as I have been studying through this gospel, that indeed our Lord wants you on a path to the kingdom. Amen? Can I get a witness on that? It is a path of safety. It is a path of freedom. And it is a path that deals with sin. Not one amen. It's a path that deals with the sin in your life. Thank you, wife. Path. Was that your wife? Was that your amen? It was Mary Jo? Oh, I only got the one wife. It deals with the sin that goes on around you. It's not a path of this world. Because the path of this world says, keep your head down and stay clear. But the kingdom path says, don't just stand by, but step in. Sometimes it gets a little bit messy. Amen? Any witness on that? It's a little risky. It'll take some time, but it will get you where you need to go. And we're talking about the kingdom path. Amen? All right. We're going to spend our time looking at the end. Now, if you have been so enlightened and encouraged by this opening, you can say, oh, give me some of them notes, because you might want to take a note or two. We're going to read the second half of Matthew chapter 18. We looked at the first half last week. And I'll tell you right off the bat that sin is a challenge. Perhaps you have found that out already. But Matthew 18:15, here we go. Bible says, if your brother or sister sins. Some translations have, if your brother or sister sins against you. Kind of makes it personal. Go and point out their fault just between the two of you. And if they listen to you, you have won them over. And as we talk about dealing with sin, the challenge of sin in our lives, that Jesus says correction starts in private. He talks about your brother that is in sin. And I got to let you know this morning that sin is bad. Is that you? Hallelujah. Sin is bad. You know what our culture says? Our culture says there ain't no such thing as sin. Culture says there's no standard. Or that you're your own standard. And you don't have to worry about sin. Amazingly, our Lord speaks about sin all the time. He says that sin is bad because sin will bring separation between you and God. Sin will bring isolation between you and the people around you. And so when you see your brother or sister in sin, that person is a danger to themselves. That person is a danger to the people that are around them. And so Jesus says, when you see somebody in sin, don't just stand by, but step in. Show some effort. Show some love. Show some interest. See, love will step into that situation even when you are sinned against. Even when you're being harmed, love steps in. And when you step in, it's not to get even. Can I get a witness on that? Because I almost stop this sin right now. But when you step in, it is for redemption. The sinner who sins possibly against you, you step in for their good. Don't just stand by on the side and watch, because it's not safe. Jesus says, step in. And when you do, things can get messy. When you step in love, in humility, and with a desire for the good of that person that you're approaching. And that all that love and humility and compassion, and just push you back sometimes and say, who are you to talk to me about sin? Because you're doing this. And here you are, Mr. Loving, Humble, Mrs. Loving, Humble, caring for their good, and they're just throwing you under the bus. And so the world says, steer clear. Stay on the sideline. Don't get involved. Hood says, hey, you do your stuff, I'll do my stuff, and we'll just get along fine. Amen? That's the world's way. That's not the kingdom path. Kingdom path is for safety. Kingdom path takes time. See, there's the option, especially when they start calling you out, for both of you to take a step closer to God. Right? You're right. I'm not doing all I need to do. Let's both make a change. Amen? There's also the option. You could just both stay where you're at, do nothing, and be missing God. Because that's what sin means. Falling short of all that God has for you. And you can just say, oh, I won't do nothing. I see that you're in sin. You stay away from God. I'll stay away from God. And nobody gets to win. That's the world's path. That's not the kingdom path. Because Jesus says, don't stand by. Step in. All right. I'm going to let you know. Jesus lets you know. Sometimes things just don't work out. Can I get a witness on that part? Yeah, thank you, George. All the way from the back. Amen. But if they will not listen, see, they done rebuked you. If they will not listen, take one or two others along. Now, who's heard of this before? Put your hands up nice and high. Oh, yeah. Take two others along so that in every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Not working out. Amen? Now, says, if that person rejects your humble, loving, compassionate advance, take two people with you. You heard that before, right? Well, I learned something this week. You don't take the two people with you to try to change their mind. You take the two people with you to be witnesses in front of the church. Because it says, Deuteronomy 19:15, one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense. Or offense they may have committed, a matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So you take these two or three witnesses along because you're thinking that you're going to take them before the church. Because these people aren't safe. These people, that brother or sister that sins against you, it's not safe for them, it's not safe for you, and guess what? It's not safe for the church. Are you tracking with me here? Jesus says, when you take these steps, you're going to move into safety. Safety for you and safety for the church. He says, if you don't do anything, you're going to stay where you are. Because the kingdom path is a path of safety. And he wants us moving down that. And he gives us a progression. He says, first you go. Well, I guess, first you see, then you go, then you take some people with you, then you kick them out of the church. The threat will stop. The sin will stop, or the sin will be removed. for that to happen, you can't stand by. You've got to step in. It's a kingdom path. It leads to safety for you and for the church. Not one amen. Nobody amazed. Kind of rough. It's a lot to take in. Well, guess what? I did this week. I got hammered with some sin. I had a story come at me, not from anybody in this room. And I am telling you, my heart was breaking. I mean, I was feeling crushed by this story, by this delineation of sin. And I began to get angry. You know what I'm talking about? But the Bible says, don't do anything with one witness. Can't do anything with, it's not enough to have one witness. Amen? Got to have two. Got to have three. So I am crushed. And I set up a meeting with this other person that was also harmed in the sin. Okay? So I go, I'm harmed with this sin, and these other people are harmed with this sin. Right? I go talk to this other person. And I describe what's going on. And that person says, I don't know what you're talking about. What? Nothing like that ever happened to me. I said, you're sure? Oh, I'm sure. And I said, what about this other person? Didn't happen to them either. So now the whole thing has turned sideways. I'm going back to the original person now and taking some steps. Now my heart is still crushed, but it's crushed in a whole different angle. But as I step into this, that threat is going to stop. Or that threat is going to be removed. Do you see how that works? Because you can go running off, chasing your tail after one witness. Damage, 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 damage. Jesus says, this is how you do it. And don't just stand by, but step in. Oh, I got all amens now. It's like, oh, yeah, you do that stuff. Okay, there we go. All right. God's working in the church. Matthew 18:18 through 20. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And Jesus is saying that we have authority from heaven. And what Jesus is referencing here is discipline in the church. That brother who's in sin. And the sin that we talked about at the beginning of chapter 18 is that sin of causing one of these little ones of mine to stumble. Or despising one of these little ones. And he's talking about little ones, he's talking about believers. So causing believers to stumble. And I was stumbling a little bit. Or despising one of them. Now, so we're talking about, and Jesus is saying, hey, you come together in agreement, I'm right there with you. Now these verses, I'm pointing back there, you can't see it. These verses, they sound familiar because we've been going through Matthew. We use these same verses back in chapter 16. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And this comes right after Jesus, after Peter's declaration of who Christ is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said, and Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And these keys were kingdom power keys to push back the gates of hell. Amen? Now, what we're talking about here is taking the keys away. Because this guy or this gal who is in sin and who is rejecting that correction no longer is going to be able to use that power to push back the gates of hell because they are embracing the gates of hell. Thank you very much. And so it's like a kid misbehaving. Take the keys away. Dare I say, take the phone away. He said he's going to build his church. And he says, you guys come together as a church. You agree on something, I'll back you up. You are going to act for me. Two or three of you come into agreement. Two of you come together. I am right there with you. It's got to be safe. It's got to be safe to come into God's house. Amen? And it's not going to be safe when God's people don't care enough to get involved. Oh, that is not my business. Can't stand by. Got to step in. Amen? All right. Amen? All right, thank you very much. 20 and 21, Matthew 18. Peter came up and asked, Jesus, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister that sins against me? Seven times? And Jesus says, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. And believers are to be people who forgive. You know, and Peter shows up. Or he's, you know, he's hearing this stuff, and he says seven times, and he figures that he's going to get a pat on the back. Man, you're doing so good, Peter. I'm so proud of you, because Old Testament rabbinical teaching was three times. Got to forgive three times, and on the fourth time, you're off the hook. So he says seven. Wow, you're so impressive, Peter. Come on up. And he says, no, Peter, 77 times. Some translations got 70 times seven. And what he's saying is like, Peter, why don't you just be a forgiver? Why don't you start moving in forgiveness? He says, your forgiveness should have no limits. Now, many of us struggle with forgiveness. I got all kinds of amens now. I say, amen, preacher. I just can't let that go. I got to get even. I got to make that right. And realistically, what we're talking about there is revenge. Not the kingdom way. Not the kingdom path. The Greek word for revenge is aphemē. And it means to release or let go. But it does not mean let off. It means you turn them over to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Bible says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Now, that person that you're struggling with forgiving, if you could just pull a Elijah and let the fire from heaven fall down on that person, probably feel pretty good about that. Am I right? Well, it's not quite like that, but he says, leave room for my wrath because it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. A pastor friend of mine gave me this quote. He said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other guy to die. Have you heard that before? Unforgiveness will cloud your relationship with God. It will weigh down your life and your soul. It will block your ability to love. Forgiveness is a path to freedom. Kingdom path. I have a story to share with you. And it's about 10 years ago. It is my hardest day of ministry in this church. And my wonderful wife and I have been here 19 years, almost like this weekend. This weekend. Happy anniversary. We had our wedding anniversary on the May 15th. We got my birthday, June 18th. We got Father's Day. We always miss the anniversary of the church. What? Left Sacramento on the 25th of June. And so the hardest day of ministry. Anybody want to hear? Working. Always working, right? And get a call from a pastor I know. Somebody's got a pastor here in town. And he says, hey, Bob, are you at your church? I said, yeah. He says, well, I am too. And the assistant superintendent is with me. We'd love to talk with you. I said, okay. I said, I'm working. You know, I'm not sitting here waiting for visitors. And they come on up, and they got a great plan. Going to help out the church. And I said, what kind of help? And he says, well, we'll do your accounting for you. I got Gene Bell. I got no need for accounting help. I don't even think about the books. So we got health insurance. I said, Jesus is my healer. I said that. I didn't have health insurance. I said, I'm not worried about that. They said, well, we want to do all this help for you. You just have to turn the church over to us. And we talked for maybe an hour and a half. And I finally asked them to leave. I said, you guys are just going to have to go. Because it's time for you to go. And it was the hardest day in ministry in 19 years. And I harbored unforgiveness. Against the assistant superintendent, who's now the superintendent. And against that man who wanted to help us so that we could turn over the church to him, and he ended up turning his church over to somebody else who was going to help him. And I wrote this down last night. It was a challenge. And I got up this morning, and I preached this at my house at 5 a.m. And as I told this story, and I said, I'm choosing to forgive them right now. Because I just didn't want to let them off the hook. They said, Lord, I choose to forgive them. You know, there was a warmth that came into my soul, a lightness and a freedom. And I preached it again here this morning at 7:30. And I felt more release. Because as you forgive, you cut yourself free from sin. And the kingdom path is a path of freedom. But it's not easy. Amen? Amen. But it's good. All right. You can't out-forgive God. Now, this is not how I normally end messages. But Jesus wants us to understand forgiveness. And he tells this story. And I'm going to read this. It's 11 verses. We'll talk a little bit and we're going to be done. But this is Jesus talking to Peter and the rest of the disciples that are there, and maybe even the Pharisees. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. He says, this is what forgiveness is like in the kingdom of heaven. This is a description of God's forgiveness, that your great debt, a debt that you can never hope to repay, is forgiven by God if you bend a knee and you ask and beg for forgiveness. That is available because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. John, the Apostle John, writes about this. Apostle John writes about that in 1 John 1:8-9. Says that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive. If you say you're without sin, you are lying. You are lying to yourself and you're lying to the people around you. And that the truth of God is not in you. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness. You come in here this morning, weighted down by sin. This is available to you this morning. That's good news. Amen? But Jesus' story continues on. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. His debt was 10,000 bags of gold. 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees, same words, and begged, "Be patient with me, I will pay it all back." Same words. But it refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything. And the word there means details of the whole thing. Everything that had happened. Then the master called in the servant. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" And in anger, his master didn't sell him. Handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 35. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart." Think Jesus is just joking? Ha 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 ha! Just joking. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart." See, unforgiveness poisons your soul. Followers of Jesus are expected to forgive. We're to get it, and we're to give it. See, God is so compassionate and merciful that he does not accept those that are not. You know, we do prayer Monday through Friday right here at 9 o'clock. And every day, we open with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. See, forgiveness is key in this. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know that part, right? Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is taken from Matthew chapter 6. Put together with Luke and some other stuff. But at the end of that, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, verse 15, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. And I don't think he's joking, folks. See, our unforgiveness cuts us off from the forgiveness of God. So as you forgive, you line yourself up on the forgiveness of God. Our forgiveness moves us down the kingdom path. You want to come up and play, Lisa? I'm wondering what path you're on this morning. Because the kingdom path deals with sin. Your sin. Jesus says his Father will forgive you. Confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. Repent, I'm going to stop. And he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is the kingdom path. This is a path to freedom. And God says, Jesus says, don't stand by, but step in. Can I get a witness on that? And then he says, that brother who sins against you, forgive them. Forgive them, turn them over to your Father in heaven, leave room for his wrath. It will cut you free from that sin. And again, it is the kingdom path that is a path to freedom. You've got to step in. And that brother who's sinning, go to him. Just the two of you. Take a risk. Could get messy. Don't step by. Step in. It's a path to safety. Safety for him. Safety for you. Safety for the church. Can't stand by. What path are you on this morning? How you doing? Kingdom path. Lord, I come to you this morning. Lord, I thank you for setting me free from a 10-year-old grudge. I thank you that you're good, mighty, and awesome. Lord, I thank you for the forgiveness of my sin. I thank you that you set me free. Lord, I thank you for the ability to move into issues of sin, find safety for myself, for the people that are committing that sin, and for the church. Path of freedom, path of safety, kingdom path. Do you need to step in this morning? Have you been on the side just watching? Letting a parade go by? Missing out? living in danger, living bound up. Today you can step in. Maybe you come in here this morning and you are just covered in sin. You feel so soiled. You are repulsed on how soiled you are. Two or three are gathered. Jesus right here in our midst. He's right here. And you're going, oh, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. When you do that, he'll forgive you. He says, I paid for your sin on a cross. Time to move down the path. Time to step in. That's you this morning. Soiled. Soiled. Dangerous. Saying, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Lord, I want to be clean. I want to be on your path. Don't be looking around at you this morning. You just feel dirty this morning. You want to be clean. Don't you slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. Back over here, somebody else say, that's me. Here, here, here. Somebody else say, that's me. Lord, cleanse me. Make me new. I don't want to be dirty anymore. Last moment. Anybody else? That's me. That's me. Hallelujah. You're here this morning and you are bound in unforgiveness. I mean, for some, like a 10,000 bags of gold debt. I got so much unforgiveness. I got so much bitterness. I've got so much resentment and anger in my soul. I don't even know where to start. But I'll tell you what. Lord will show you. Lord will show you. Right now, he might be showing you, look how much I forgave you. Look how much I have forgiven you. What right do you have to hold anything against anyone? See, because you know the depravity of your soul. Just you and God. And he says, I forgave you. The rest of this stuff is trivial. I'll handle it. You got to trust me enough to give it to me. It's a path of freedom. See, all that unforgiveness just ties you to all that sin and just all bound up with bitterness and anger and resentment. You feel like me? Stubborn old sin is falling off your back. You're moving in freedom. You're here this morning. You might have put your hand up before, maybe not, but this is just dead on. I need to become a forgiver. I'm 70 times 7, 700. I need to figure this out, Lord. Lord, I'm going to turn some stuff over to you today, Lord. I'm going to make room for you to deal with this. I'm going to trust you.